Amen. I tell you what, we need to put our trust in the Lord. He's the only one that we can truly depend on. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. And again, preaching this morning on our theme for the year. Touching on it, and we've touched on this passage before, but I want to preach the passage as we look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Our text will be verse 5. We'll begin reading in verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." And we've talked about that He was the rock of offense, that He was disallowed indeed of men. But chosen of God and precious. Verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 2. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Verse 8, we preached on that already. And again, you know, many people stumble at the Lord and stumble at the stone because they don't want to listen to the word of God or be accountable to God. So they stumble at Him. They reject Him. And this morning, I especially want to draw attention again to verse 5. "Ye also are lively stones." The same Greek word used in verse 4, called Jesus Christ a living stone, is the same Greek word used in verse 5. So you could say, "Ye also are lively stones," are living stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You tonight, this morning, Lord, for Your love. We thank You so much for all that You've done for us. And we come to You this morning just asking for clarity of thought. We ask that You would just hide me behind the cross. This morning is a message for primarily for our members. And I pray this morning that You would allow me to get the message across to them very, very clearly. And each of us would realize the importance of our stone in the building up of our spiritual house here at Heritage Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. In many Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, Christ is compared to a foundation. A foundation. Again, we've been covering many of these subjects already, but He's compared to a foundation. And the believer, those who are born again, and also the church, are compared to the rocks or stones that are built upon that foundation. Now, just as a foundation is necessary to erect a building, so is Christ necessary to the believer. Amen? We can't do without Him. Now, He can do without us, but as believers, He is necessary to our life, to our spiritual life. By the way, He's necessary to our physical life. The Bible says that He holds our very breath in His hands. In Him we live and move and have our being, Acts chapter 17. Peter speaks here of a spiritual house, building up a spiritual house. Now, we understand this morning that the church, as the Bible describes it, the church is not the building. It's not the building. Now, again, this morning we understand that when you say our church, when somebody asks you about your church, you don't describe the building, you describe the people, right? You know, when they ask you, "How's your church doing?" You don't say, "Well, it needs painting. You know, it's got cracks in it here and there. I think the nursery wall has a crack in it." I mean, you know, you go on to describe the building. No, you don't describe the physical building. You begin to describe, "Hey, it's going well, the spirit's good, people are coming and joining, it's very exciting, the preacher's halfway decent, you know, the Sunday school teacher's, he's questionable, but it's going along, it's going good, and God's blessing." But you reference the people, you reference the spirit of the church. And again, the church, when it's referred to in the Bible, is not the building. When we say we're going to church, we mean we're going to church, the church building, other than Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Got a big ring, Brother Mosley. Sunday morning, Sunday night. So if you go to church, if you come to the church on a Monday when we're not having worship service, You're not coming to the church, you're coming to the church building, technically. Everybody with me? This is just a building. Now it's paid for with God's money, makes it special, but it's just a building. Amen? A lot of effort went into it, and we could go on and on there. But in fact, Baptists historically have not made their buildings so elaborate because they want to de-emphasize the building. Because there are others who emphasize the building. The building is not important. The people are important. In fact, Heritage Baptist Church this morning, if this building was to burn down, would still be in existence. Because it's the people that are the church. We could meet at the park, the city park, down here in Haslett, and we would be a church. The church, building up a spiritual house. These lively stones are built up a spiritual house. It's not a physical house. A spiritual house made of living stones. Now these stones, who are these stones? These stones are the individuals who have been quickened by the Holy Spirit. Believers are these living stones that make up this spiritual house. Now, as we think about this, we think about the living stones. The living stones are those who are cut out of nature's quarry. Again, I want you to try to visualize. I almost brought some stones up here to try to visualize this and, you know, make it. But everybody just kind of think of a stone, okay? And we think about the stone is cut out of the side of a mountain or cut out of a mine. It's quarried out. The Bible says that those who are living stones. You understand the Bible describes those who have never accepted Christ as their Savior as dead in trespasses and sins. Before I accepted Christ as my Savior, the Bible says, I was dead in trespasses and sins. But Ephesians chapter 2 says, ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, my stone was dead. But when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, my stone was quickened. It was brought to life. It became a living stone, a lively stone, born again. The Bible says, passed from death unto life. I'm glad today I stand before you as one who's passed from death into life. I stand before you today as a benefit of my salvation. I've been set on a sure foundation that I can trust in, as the song said this morning. I can trust in. I'm set upon. I haven't preached on this lately. 20 times. I'm set on a stone. The stone, Jesus Christ, a sure foundation. A foundation that cannot be moved. It's immutable. A foundation that will not crack or crumble. I stand upon a sure foundation. One of the benefits of being made alive or becoming a living stone is that I am set on a sure foundation. Today, more than ever, we need to set our lives upon that sure foundation, Jesus Christ. Listen, the government may crumble, our families may crumble, our jobs may crumble, but as long as I'm standing upon Jesus, I'm all right. Listen, we understand this morning that the foundation of our life should be Jesus Christ. The foundation of our church should be Jesus Christ. The foundation of the gospel is Jesus Christ. And the foundation of our homes should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is a sure foundation. He will not move. I'm glad today I'm born again. Set upon that sure foundation, my sins forgiven, and been given a home in heaven. Are you a living stone this morning? Have you been made alive? Have you been born again? Have you been set upon this sure foundation? If you haven't, certainly today would be the time to do that. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. Listen, today you can come down to the old-fashioned altar here in a little bit. We're going to sing a song. And you can come down and kneel before God. And a worker will take and show you from the Bible, not our opinion, but from the Bible, how you can know that your life, your home, your salvation based upon a true foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. The living stone. We are lively stones. Those who are born again, those who are children of the Lord, have been quickened, made alive. Our stone has been brought from death into life. The Bible says we become living stones. Now, this living stone, once it becomes alive, the Bible describes it as being living stones building up a spiritual house. Now, the living stone is cut and polished by the Holy Spirit. Everybody carry the analogy with me, if you would. Cut and polished by the Holy Spirit. When you go to build a house and you're going to use rock, there are several types of stone that you can purchase.
But there are also different ways you can order the rock, various fashions, such as you can order rock sawn. In other words, they've sawn it into 6 inch or 5 inches or 8 inches or 10 inches. They've sawn it. Everybody with me? You can also buy what they call chopstone. And it's just been whacked on one end and whacked on the other and broken pieces. You can also call what they builder's stone, which is just various sizes of all different kinds of sizes and so forth. But the stone here was talked about, this lively stone, is being worked on. Now, the working on is done by the Holy Spirit. He's the one in the Christian's life that's working on us, polishing us. In fact, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ, by way of the Holy Spirit, is working on us. This living stone is being worked on by the Holy Spirit. Now, we think about the mason who takes that stone and puts it in its place. I've watched it happen many times. A mason will be out there and he'll take a stone that he picks out of the pile. He'll look at the wall and he'll determine where he's going to put that particular rock. Now, when he puts that rock up there, he may take it back off a couple times and take his chipping hammer and chip away at it to make sure that it fits properly. He may take it down off. He may take it to the wet saw and he may saw it to make it fit properly where it needs to fit. Listen, this Bible says that we are building up a spiritual house. Now, each one of us are living stones, and each one of our stones is being worked on by the Holy Spirit, who is cutting and polishing this stone. Now, as the master builder takes and chips away at this stone, he is chipping away at it for a reason. He is chipping away at it in certain directions, or he's chopping it or sawing it, so that it will fit in its proper place in the spiritual building. The spiritual building being the church. Everyone with me? So he's taking this, he's chipping away at it so that he can put it in its proper place in the church. Prepared for our place. Now listen, everyone at Heritage Baptist Church has a proper place that they should be in. Everybody who is a member of Heritage Baptist Church has a place to occupy. In fact, the Bible says we should occupy till he comes. Amen? So the master builder's working on your stone. He's chipping away you. He's sawing at you in order to place you in the church in your proper place. What proper place? The place he would have you to be in. It's the master builder who puts us in the right place. We don't put ourselves in that place. But he places us. And God has said that every one of us has been given talents. Every one of us has been given gifts. And listen, we should use those gifts in the church. We should use those gifts. I appreciate Brother Chad singing here today and his friend. What an awesome thing that is. And also Missy and Brother Randy singing here, using their talents in the church, the choir this morning. And you can't, listen, you would have had to buy a ticket somewhere to see what you saw today. Amen? Amen? Listen, we all have our place to serve. We all have it, whether it's in the Sunday school, or whether it's in the children's church, or whether it's ushering, whether it's greeting people at the door, whether it's cleaning the building, whether it's whatever it is, working with sound, working with the computers upstairs, whatever. God has a place for you at Heritage Church. Your stone is being chipped away and fashioned in such a way God is working on you and will work on you until Jesus returns in order that he might place you in the church in order that you might be productive in his church. We need to be productive for him. We are placed where the master builder wants us to fit. I want you to turn over to another verse of Scripture in Ephesians, just a few pages back. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. What a tremendous truth this is. And as we think about the foundation now, the foundation is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of the spiritual house. We are the stones that he is placing on this foundation, which is himself, building up the spiritual house. We're not talking about the physical house, we're talking about the spiritual house. Look at verse 20, Ephesians chapter 2. Now, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ. By the way, it says foundation of the apostles. It doesn't say the foundation the apostles. It's not saying that the apostles are the foundation. It says they're sitting on the same foundation we are. The foundation of the apostles is Jesus Christ.
All right, so be careful with that verse. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. By the way, he could be the cornerstone of the foundation as well. Amen. The Bible describes him as both. Now, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together. Now, notice it's talking about people here, not physical building. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Again, Paul here is making this contrasting with us, the Old Testament temple to the New Testament temple. He's contrasting for us the Old Testament physical building to the New Testament spiritual building. By the way, the New Testament spiritual building's foundation is who? Jesus Christ. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible describes when they were preparing to build Solomon's temple that they built it and they cut the rock out in such of a way and they did all of the work away from the site of the temple mountain. And so when they brought all the materials to the temple was built without hammers and without any noise. In other words, you didn't get on the temple mountain here, boom, boom, and they didn't have electricity, but, they didn't have this. I mean, it was built without hammers. It was built without, it was amazing. Again, one of the ancient wonders of the world. It was fitly framed together. Each rock, each stone was built in such a way that it slid into the other, that it fitly framed into the other. Didn't take mortar. They didn't use cement. It just simply slid into the other rock. In fact, scholars tell us that it was fit so fitly framed together that you couldn't stick a piece of paper in the crack of the temple. It was, again, an amazing building. And Paul is simply, again, contrasting that Old Testament temple to the New Testament temple, the spiritual house we're building. Again, each one of us being a living stone, and that each of our stones should be fitly framed together. Man, we think about unity. Working together for the Lord's work. I've told you before, I've used this illustration a lot, but think about this stone as God is chipping away at your stone and my stone, preparing to place us into the temple, the spiritual temple. Many times we allow sin into our life and God has to take and just chip that mortar, that cement away, so that when we do come to the church on Sunday morning to worship Him, that we can be fitly framed together and that the sin of cement or the sin of rough edges is chipped away so that we can be fitly framed together. Those members of Heritage Baptist, when you walk through those back doors, you're building up a spiritual house. When you came in this morning, in your home this morning, you were a stone all to yourself. But when you walked through those back doors this morning and walked into this building, whether it didn't have to necessarily walk into this building, it'd be anywhere. But when we met together this morning, we build up a spiritual house. Our rocks laid against each other. Our stones laid against each other. Building up this spiritual house. Fitly framed together. Now, as we think about that for a moment, we must think about how is our stone doing. As we think about that, if we're to be fitly framed together, if we're to fit together, then we must be careful that our stone is what it should be. When we come through the back doors this morning, we meet together, our stone had better been chipped on by the Lord. By the way, whether we allow Him to or not, He's going to be chipping away at it. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Amen? And so we're looking at that. The Lord is cutting us. He's chipping at us. He's polishing us. He's getting the mortar out of our life. You say, well, how do we do that? How do we come to church with our stone where it should be? We do that by daily walking with the Lord. As we walk with the Lord every day, not just Sunday and Wednesday nights, as we walk with the Lord on a daily basis, as we allow Him to speak to us and we develop that relationship with Him, and we stay in fellowship with Him, then the sins are mortar in our life, the roughness around the edges, He is just chipping away. So that when we come through these doors, our rock, our stone will be tightly fit to the Christian sitting next to us.
Amen? You say, well, so what? The greater unity we have as a church, the greater our stones fit together, the stronger our temple is. Amen. The stronger we are as a church. Again, Solomon had the temple engineered and designed in such a way that it fitly framed together, and it was a magnificent structure. And many times we come to church and our stone isn't what it should be. It's roughed up. It's not been polished. Or maybe, listen to this one, maybe we don't show up at all. And you know what that means? Our stone is missing. Our stone is missing. Our stone in the church is missing. There's a blank spot in the wall. You say, preacher, you're going to get on this. Absolutely. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we should be meeting more and more as we see the day approaching. Listen, we ought to be faithful to our church because we are one of these stones and we're building up the spiritual house, and when we're missing, there's a hole in the wall. And therefore, our wall is not as strong as it ought to be. Our wall is not as strong as it should be. You say, preacher, you're saying I should never miss a service? I'm just saying, as Brother Henderson, he does this every once in a while, in his preaching, he'll say, you know, you'll figure it out. One day, we'll stand before God and we'll give an account of what we've done. And if you can stand before God when you miss church and you can say to Him, I miss church because of this, and Him say, okay, I'll accept that, then you're fine. Otherwise, watch out. Amen. Amen. Help me out now. There ought to be some amens in here. Am I teaching truth? Absolutely I am. Am I showing, is Paul illustrating for us a great truth here by developing this analogy of us being a building? Remember he does in Ephesians, he develops the analogy of a building, a bride, and something else. A building, a bride, and a... What is it? Come on. What is it, Brother Stone? A house. No, building, bride. Man, that's terrible. Let's take a commercial break. Paul illustrates for us this truth by way of a building. And Peter picks up on that. And he says, listen, we are living stones. By the way, this is inspired of God. Body, building, and bride. Thank you. Body, building, and bride. But the illustration is so clear. And it ought to help you see it. It's one thing for me to get up and preach Hebrews 10:25 to you. Not forsaking assembling yourselves together as man and self is. And we can do that all day long. And we have. And we can get up and say, you're accountable to God when you stand before Him in regards to your church attendance. But when I tell you that when you're missing in this assembly, that you make the building weak, that should waken you. That should cause you to rethink when you miss a service. It should cause you to think about what you're doing and think about where you're going and driving down the highway when you should be in church. Amen. You're saying, preacher, again, are you saying you should never miss? Me and my family miss every once in a while. And I believe when I stand before God, the times I've missed, I believe He will say, all right. Amen. That's between me and the Lord. Oh, listen. We need our building to be strong. We need our spiritual building and Heritage Baptist Church to be strong. That we might be able to stand against this old world that's just out to get us. And when Satan attacks, we have a place to go where we can meet together, and it's strong and it's just indestructible, setting on that foundation of Jesus Christ. Listen to this one. Scholars tell us that when they quarried the stones for the temple, they quarried them in such a way that they cut one huge wall out, and they would number each individual stone. They would number it. And when they went to put it up on the temple site, they would match each number again. And so when the whole wall was put together and fitly framed together, when you stood back at it and looked at it, it looked like one big rock. Kind of like when you put, you know, wallpaper together. Just kind of, you can match it up and you fit it together. That wall looked like one big rock. Isn't that so cool? That neat? I tell you what, our church doesn't look like one big wall. It needs to be that in the sight of this world, when others are looking in at us, they see us united together. They see us confident, not only in the Lord Jesus Christ, but confident in each other and our gifts that God has given us by way of singing and teaching and preaching, by way of our gifts of going and hospitality and ministering to people's needs and wants during the time of sickness and all these other things, ministering to people's education needs, whatever it is. But they see that united front. A solid wall. I bet you that took some time, didn't it? You say, well, the spiritual temple, being what God wants it to be, doesn't happen overnight. Why? Because He's working on us until the day of Jesus Christ. You say, well, this temple, the temple when they finished it, it was complete. And listen, our temple won't be complete until Jesus returns. Hey, man, He's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. What loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. And He's working on His church. And He'll continue to work on us until we get to heaven. But we need to, again, in our own lives, look at this. I love this little story I found. It says, there's a famous story from Sparta. A Spartan king boasted to a visiting monarch about the walls of Sparta. The visiting monarch looked around and he could see no walls. He said to the Spartan king, he says, where are these walls about which you speak and boast of? The Spartan king pointed at his magnificent Spartan troops and said, these, he said, are the walls of Sparta, and every man of them a brick. See, our walls aren't physical. Our walls are the army of God that is sitting in the pews this morning. We are the walls. As we battle, as we fight, if you would, the spiritual fight, we do that together as one great army for the Lord. One great wall. Oh, you say, what am I to do with this, preacher? I believe you just need to be careful how your rock is. How's your stone? Or how's your daily walk with the Lord? See, if you look at the rest of the verse, go back there with me, 1 Peter again. If you see the rest of the verse, it goes on to say that we are lively stones and we're building up this spiritual house, each one of us again being that brick. We're a holy priesthood. I believe, I'm so glad today, in the priesthood of the believer. Do you realize when the Bible and the New Testament speaks of priests, it never refers to a preacher like me? It never refers, when it uses the word priest in the New Testament, it never says about a bishop or a preacher. He never calls him a priest. Every time in the New Testament where the Bible uses the word priest, it talks about the believer. Each believer is a priest. Each believer this morning, each of us, have access to the throne of God by way of the bloodshed of Jesus of Calvary. Amen? We don't have to go through another priest. The Bible says we have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we can approach Him, the priesthood of the believer. In fact, you go on down there, it says in verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Listen this morning, we are priests. We have access to God. We can go to Him anytime we want to, and we can pray to Him. We can ask forgiveness of our own sins. We don't have to go to the preacher and get some kind of confirmation or some kind of indulgence or some kind of forgiveness of sins. We can go to God and get our own forgiveness of sins. We are royal priests, a royal priest, a chosen generation. Listen, we are holy priests.
says there, we are offering up spiritual sacrifices. In this spiritual temple, each of us are priests. Unlike the Old Testament temple, where the Levites were the priests, in the New Testament temple, we are all priests, those who are born again. And we're offering up not bullocks and calves and lambs, but we're offering up spiritual sacrifices. The Bible says, talks about a broken and contrite heart being a spiritual sacrifice. The Bible talks about the prayers of faith being a spiritual sacrifice. The Bible speaks of a holy and devoted life being a spiritual sacrifice. That's what we're offering up. We're offering up our prayers. We're offering up our lives to the Lord. And in heaven, He's breathing in, and it's a sweet savor unto Him. A great sacrifice to Him. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. He says there in the last part of that verse, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I want to present to Him sacrifices that are acceptable. By way of my prayers, by way of holy living, by way of a broken and contrite heart. I want to kneel before Him humbly, broken, offering up a spiritual sacrifice. I ask you a question this morning. How's your stone doing? First off, have you been cut out of the quarry yet? Are you saved? And in salvation, you receive benefits. You receive benefits. The greatest benefit of all is being on a sure foundation that won't move. That foundation is Jesus Christ. The great benefit of heaven being your home. Great benefit of sins being forgiven. Having a new life here on earth now. A purpose in life. I hope today, if you've never been quarried out of the mountain yet, that today you would step out of your chair and come forward and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Christians, this morning, how's your stone? Is it rough? Has a sin allowed it to corrupt the stone on the outside so that when you come to church you can't be fitly framed together? How's your stone this morning? Is your stone in its proper place? Are you hurt somewhere? Have you found your place? Have you allowed the Master Builder to place you in the proper ministry? If you haven't, you ought to come and pray, Lord, I want to serve you. In what area would you have me to serve? In 1 Kings, in chapter 8, the Bible describes that physical temple of Solomon was completed. They put on the capstone. The temple was completed there in Jerusalem. And in verse 10, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, and the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." This morning, as we come through these back doors, each one of us a lively stone, we're building up the spiritual house. As the spiritual house is being built, the Holy Spirit, if you would, is here. The Bible says where two or more are gathered together, He's in the presence. Amen? We realize that. We know that. But nowhere does the Bible say He has to make Himself evident. Why would He make Himself evident? Why would He make Himself evident? When He feels comfortable. Well, how is He to feel comfortable? When He's not grieved or quenched by our rough stones, by the sins we've allowed to accumulate in our lives. But as we come together and our stones are fitly framed together and they become closer and closer and closer, He feels more comfortable. He'll make Himself evident. You know why they had great revivals in the 1700s, 1800s, and 1900s? Because people got on their knees and got their stones right. Got the mortar off. And when they met for services, the Holy Spirit showed up in a great and mighty way. If each of us would just purpose in our heart during the week to live for the Lord, that we would purpose in our heart to daily walk with Him,
to spend time with Him in the mornings in prayer and devotion, to spend time with our children talking about the Lord, and spend time in the evening talking about the Lord. And each evening and each day we try to live for Him by way of the Holy Spirit. And we show up here on Sunday, we're not all damaged, we're not all broken, but we come with our stone lively and fresh, and it's placed there on the wall, and now our wall is fitly framed together. And the Holy Spirit will show up in a mighty way. How's your stone this morning? How's your stone, Christian? How is it? How is it? How's your daily walk with the Lord? I want the Lord to show up at Heritage Baptist Church in a mighty way. You say, well, He is. Man, I'm stingy. I want more. I want more. Let's all stand.